Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
And a happy rainy Wednesday here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, Chase McKay, Michelle Konezvic, the reporter Nick Keiser. Hope you're having a safe morning. It's a little wet out there for sure, but got a great show planned. The great John McClain going to join us at 9:30. Looking forward to talking to him. Dante Fabro of the Predators will join at 10 as they, I call that a bounce back. They bounced back last night.
Yes, that is a bounce back. That's a bounce back, and that is a gold star sticker for the future of the Predators.
Yeah,
Luke Evangelista. With all the young guys, Luke Evangelista, Tomasino. So if you're a Preds fan, you got to be feeling good this morning, Chase.
Oh, yeah. 7-3, the final there. They lose 7-0 on Sunday. They win 7-3, put up a touchdown, and only a field goal by the Sabres last night. So the Predators able to get it done. So we'll get into that. Also, something cool that the Predators have done in preparation of Pekarene's statue that I thought was neat. We'll get into that a little later on. But we start things off with the Titans. And it's something that I remember Mike Vrabel saying in his end-of-season press conference. And then I heard Paul Kaharsky reference it this morning. I heard guys yesterday reference it. D-Mace brought it up, that Mike Vrabel wanted this team to get faster. Mm-hmm. And you look at some of the free agent signings that they've made, albeit, value signings, I think it's safe to say that they have gotten faster, except for one position, which I am continued to be concerned about, and I'm going to be concerned about it until they actually do something with it, which I'm starting to think is going to be the draft, and that is the wide receiver's position. They brought back Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. That's it. But don't look at me. But they bring him back. You know, you got Racy McMath, you got Treylon Burks, obviously, but they still have Kyle Phillips, which Kyle Phillips can add speed for sure, but you got to address that position. So is it going to be, are they still going to sign, value free agent now that we're in wave two of free agency, or is it all going to be on the draft? That is what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I'm curious about it too. I mean, when we looked at this Tennessee Titans team, we put, priority A is the offensive line. We've already seen the moves that they've made there in the first wave of free agency. Priority two, or 1B, I guess you could say, would be the wide receiver core. I mean, last year, Robert Woods, he signed with the team when you had A.J. Brown, so that wasn't what you wanted from him. And then Treylon Burks was required to be your number one wide receiver as a rookie. And I can't imagine this Tennessee Titans team going into this season with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as your veteran wide receiver. I just can't imagine them doing that. I think that if you look at this team, they will go get somebody who has played in the league a couple years. Not a flashy guy. We brought up Mecole Hardman earlier this morning. He's a speed guy. But I think, we saw this wide receiver class, and there was nobody flashy in this year's free agent class. I mean, OBJ, I'm just putting him in a separate category.
He's just anyone that brings him up for the Titans,
they're not getting him.
They're not going to do that.
And if they got him, Tennessee's luck would be he's coming off another ACL and he's not going to give what he gave to the Rams last year. That would just be the luck and another aging receiver. So, you look at this class and it's not flashy, this wide receiver class. And a lot of the guys who, were higher up on the list, Robert Woods, he went to the Texans, Juju went to the Giants. But I think you just kind of see the Tennessee Titans waiting because a lot of the guys on this free agent list of wide receivers, they're not hot tickets, and the price is going to go down as they wait longer and longer and longer. But is that going to be enough?
Right. Earlier in the week on Monday, Jonathan Hutton joined our show as he does every week and talked about the receiver position in the draft.
Well, I mean, the reality is their best path is to try to win with Henry and with Tannehill and just eat those contracts this year. Restructure adjustments there could cost you potential cap space in the future. And I don't think there's a good argument to do that. And they have very little financial commitment beyond this season to those two, Tannehill and Henry. And that points now to Treylon Burks. They're hurt in two areas. There's not enough guys they drafted that they wanted to re-sign, meaning elite talent, or they just don't have enough players on those rookie deals. And the ones they do have, those guys have to be able to produce at a much higher rate than what they did a year ago. And Burks is at the top of the list. You trade away A.J. Brown, and you go with pick 16, and it's a wide receiver first round. I mean, there were five taken in the ahead of him, and Burks ends up being your guy. They need him to hit because he's very – I think he's a he has the pure talent to be a number one, but he's got to prove it. We didn't see him take the field as a rookie the same way A.J. did. And fair or not, that's exactly the comparison that he's going to face until he produces to a high level. And he's very capable of that. But it's a bit of an unknown because he got ready for the draft and then he wasn't ready for OTAs and minicamp. And that was alarming. So now it's time to come in ready to go. And he needs to be Tannehill's number one.
Well, and I think he's going to be. You know, we talked about that yesterday, that I feel like he's going to take a big step. But Hutt's right, because you have him as your top draft pick last year, and now you have, you know, some other guys that are still, like Kyle Phillips, even though he was a later round pick. You got to get something out of him. You got to start hitting on these. And then you're basically, right now it would appear, you're banking on one or two out of this year's draft and hoping that they hit and help you right away.
Well, and looking at this year's draft compared to last year's draft was a lot more wide receiver heavy. The free agent market was a lot more wide receiver heavy. And you look this year and it's just gotten thinner. You don't have as many wide receivers who are going to be in that first round elite wide receivers like we've seen in the past couple of years. You know, Treylon Burks was one of them. His name, Drake Jackson plays for the Falcons.
Oh yeah. I'm blanking on it too. The USC.
Yeah, exactly. He was, you know, a high draft pick, an elite prospect last year. A couple of years ago, Ja'Marr Chase. Right. We're not seeing any guy like that really in this year's draft. The TCU wide receiver, he's up there. And the Tennessee Titans benefit that there are so many quarterbacks that are probably going to go in the top 10. I think all four could potentially go in the top 10. You added Jalen Carter, you added Will Anderson. So maybe you can get a top receiver that falls at 11 for you. But it's a what if. And if you don't see that there's an elite level wide receiver in this draft that, you know, will help benefit your offense, benefit your wide receiver room, you know, I think they're going to have to get somebody in free agency as well. I don't think this is just, okay, we'll draft a couple guys at this position. I think it's Drake London. Somebody texts in. Yes, Drake London. Yeah,
there you go.
I think it's going to be not either or. It's going to be draft and get somebody in free agency. Because I think by now we can probably assume that they're not going to trade for a big-time wide receiver. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they realize how they put their team together, and they're seeing that that's just the missing piece. I don't see it happen.
I don't either. I just the moves that they have made show me that they're in. You know, Paul was using rebuild. That they're, you know, to what level are they rebuilding? I'll go with that. I mean, that's what it feels like. And so, if you're gonna do that through free agency and some of the cuts that you made, I don't see you going, oh, we're gonna turn around and make a big trade and get a top-tier receiver in here.
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
And that's kind of what we've seen from Mike Vrabel, from Rand Carthon. That's what we've seen is the path they want to take this offseason. They want to make some safe, smart deals with guys who aren't flashy, no big go for it. We are in our Super Bowl window moves. That's why I can't see them going and trying to trade for a guy like a Mike Evans, who I think would be open to a trade. I think the Bucks would be open to a trade for him. I just don't see them doing it. I see them maybe getting a wide receiver who's been there, done that in the league. Not a flashy guy. Mecole Hardman, fast guy, came from Kansas City. But I don't see it being a jaw-dropper. And I also don't see, Nick Westbrook Akine being your only veteran wide receiver in that room, Chase.
Yeah, no, I mean, they have to figure that out. And Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, was on with Stillman and Company and talked about some of the receivers in the draft. Well, do we have it?
I am not thrilled at receivers at the top end here. And I'm not thrilled at the Titans taking a receiver at number 11. I mean, there are some guys whose names have been mocked to them. Quentin Johnston out of TCU is one of the ones that's gone, you know, in conversation to them very often. He's 6'3", 208. He's the kind of guy that wins with size. He's outstanding at winning with size. And he's got good separation speed. In other words, he can just turn on that extra gear and stride it out to get open down the field. So all those things are good, but he also showed some inconsistency. He also doesn't catch as many touchdowns at TCU as I thought he might. I mean, Max Duggan, his quarterback, threw 32 touchdown passes last year. Johnston caught six of them. Just six? At 6'3"? You would think there'd be more going on there.
And I agree with him. I mean, and you were saying this too, Michelle, that the receivers in this draft, it's not as deep as it was last year. I think there's some talent, for sure. I'm not saying there's not.
Of course, there always is.
But I think that they're going to have to look a little harder than they did last year.
You're going to have to look a little harder, and you're not going to have the luxury, you know, picking at number 11, getting the quality of receiver that you got in Treylon Burks at, I think, 16 last year. So just because it's not that deep of a wide receiver class. So is there a team above you? I know there's a lot of teams we pointed out who need quarterbacks, but is there a team who is able to figure out their quarterback situation and they want to take Quentin Johnson from TCU at their top position, whether it's 7, 8, wherever they may be picking, right? Do the Bears, who have dropped, want to take a wide receiver? I think they'll probably take a Jalen Carter or Will Anderson, but it's a toss-up, and you don't have the luxury of having so many guys, like I mentioned, in previous drafts, or having a free agent market right now that has elite wide receivers.
There's one draft expert that doesn't believe the Titans will take an offensive player at 11. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate you joining in, listening. You can hit us up on our phone and text line at any time, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I wish I could talk today. 615-737-1025. Words are hard. And we're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, talking about the two-tone blue. We'll get into the Predators coming up at 9:45 with the power play. Dante Fabro going to join us at 10. Their huge win last night, 7-3. Over the Buffalo Sabres was a fun one to watch for sure. But there's one draft expert that does several mock drafts, as we know. That is Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN. And up until this point, pretty much everybody that has done a mock draft has had the Titans taking Paris Johnson Jr. of Ohio State at 11. Now that we have gone through this first wave of free agency, Mel Kiper does not have the Titans selecting Paris Johnson Jr. I will say this, Carolina taking number one. Care to guess who he has?
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud. And then he has Bryce Young going to Houston.
Texans.
Indy moves up to 3 to take Will Levis.
My Wildcat.
From Kentucky.
Will Levis.
He stays in blue, according
there
to Mel Kiper Jr.
Stays in blue.
Will Anderson, 4 to Arizona. Anthony Richardson, 5 to Seattle. Jalen Carter, 6 to Detroit. The Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback from Oregon, to the Raiders. Devin Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois, to Atlanta. Paris Johnson Jr., 9th overall,
to
Chicago. Which, that would make a lot of sense. And then Skorinski goes to Philly at 10, and he has at 11. The Titans selecting Tyree Wilson, defensive end, or linebacker, depending on where you look, Texas Tech. So he has them going defense.
Interesting. I would love to know what Tennessee Titans fans feel about that. So if you're listening right now, Texas, call us 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, because I know the how you're supposed to look at a draft is you're just supposed to get the best player that is available at your position. But looking at the needs in how many position groups on offense are so thin and don't have depth right now. That is concerning. You went out and you made some linebacker moves in free agency. Azeez Al-Shaair to try to fill David Long Jr.'s spot. You have Harold Landry coming back. But that's concerning to me. I mean, when you look at this offensive line, you've made these moves, but, you know, and Andre Dillard, he's still young. He could be with you, you know, for the next couple of years. And that's what you hope, that you're able to develop him. And you hope that Brewer is able to be maybe your center for a couple more years. I know you'll eventually probably want to get somebody bigger in there, draft somebody at that position. But I just think this offensive line right now needs so much work as far as getting guys who can be depth pieces for you and being able to draft and then develop guys to have an offensive line moving forward, and the receiving core, that picking a guy on defense makes me scratch my head a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Floyd always taught me you don't draft for need. You just take best player. You have your board, and that's what you want, and that's your plan, and then you go by your plan. And so if you have a guy on your board and your pick comes up and he's there and you feel really good about it, then you take him, depending on what the position is. Doesn't matter. You're not drafting for, oh, I need this, so I'm going to go get this guy just because he plays that position. You want to draft the player that you have identified is going to be a good fit for your team. And so I don't know if Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have Tyree Wilson on their board. I would assume they're looking at him for sure. But I am in a situation like this, I would think it just makes more sense to trade out of the pick and trade back and get more draft assets because you have so many holes. Like, at this point, if they drafted Paris Johnson, I'm not going to be mad about it, or Skorinski. Like, I would be fine with it if they had either one of those guys. But if Goodell goes up and says, we have a trade to announce, I wouldn't hate that either, and they're moving back.
I agree, especially when you look at this team and you look at – I mean, yesterday you and I went through some of the position groups on offense, and, you know, for wide receiver and tight end, we could confidently say there are – two starting guys, right? Treylon Burks and then Chigakonkwo for your tight end group. And pretty much after that, you couldn't feel confident in a lot of other of the guys. That's a problem, right? The offensive line, those moves have been fixed. Or some of them have.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I know. I said that and then I was improved? Like, wait a minute. Improved. But, you know, you want to see them get more depth at that position because that was one of the biggest problems last year. And I'm not trying to act like I'm a general manager because, of course, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, you know, they know this team in and out. But a lot of fans, too, texting in right now are posing the question of, we have so many needs right now, and the defensive needs are not even close to the offensive needs. And I think that's been something you and I have discussed, is that this offense and defense are in two completely different situations as far as, you know, when you look at it top to bottom.
Right. Trevor Maddich yesterday was on Stillman and Company, and Jared asked him about the Titans taking Tyree Wilson.
That would be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If he's there and if Paris Johnson is not, and if those two, you know, that would be a great pick. And it's things that we've talked about, you know, that – everybody says that they want to take the best available player. Most of the time, they take the best available player at a position of need. And that works out okay if the position of need is not ranked very far below the highest ranked available player. Okay. So that you don't draft a guy that's materially graded less with less talent and inability to impact. Okay. But if Paris Johnson, who is in the same vicinity as Tyree Wilson, is not available, then the thing that Wilson does is it makes your quarterback better by comparison to the other teams in the division, especially. You know, we talked last week about having to get past great quarterbacks in Buffalo and Kansas City in order to make it to the Super Bowl. And now when you've got the mocks coming in, you've got Will Levis mocked at number 3 by Mel going to the Colts, and Bryce Young mocked at number 2 by Mel going to the Houston Texans. You've already got Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville. So you've got three young quarterbacks that if they pan out the way people expect them to, then you've got three outstanding young quarterbacks that you have to keep up with who?
That was Trevor Maddich yesterday, and he's spot on. But, you know, if you're drafting, if you have, just like I was saying, you have your guy, if your need is right there around then you take it. If you're reaching, then you don't want to do that. That's when teams get in trouble, when they're reaching, just because, mm-hmm. oh, I need a guard, so I'm going to take a guard at 11, even though the guy I'm taking is graded as a second-round pick. Like, that's not good.
I would be an awful GM, because I'm thinking – I would have such a hard time with, oh, we need this so badly, but he's the best player in the draft right now. I would be bad. I would be so bad at it because, you know, and a lot of fans too weighing in on the text. I want to read a couple of these texts quick, Chase.
Yep.
Are voicing the same concern. Caleb on the text line, if the Titans don't go with an offensive lineman with their first pick and expect another season like they just had with Ryan Tannehill, we'll probably miss some games because he'll be destroyed again. They have to fix the O-line. And the free agents they have gotten so far do not address everything. Another text right now is, I think defense isn't a terrible pick, but we need protection on offense. Without elite receivers, QB will need more time to get rid of the ball. So kind of on that offensive line mantra. And like you said, if the O-lineman from Northwestern, if he's available, I couldn't see the Tennessee Titans passing him up. I couldn't.
No.
I mean, he's one of the best linemen in this draft, but
Mel has him going 10th just before the Titans pick to Philly.
Okay. Oh, already a great lineup there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice addition. But, you know, if they were to – I think Trevor had a really good point there. You know, if you were to draft that defensive player, then – you even out the quarterback play as far as in division. And that, I think, is an interesting point to hit on. Although you might not have the best quarterback in the division, you're evening out the playing field with having somebody who can rush the other quarterback on the other side.
Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL and free agency with the great John McClain. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik with you. Nick Kieser as well. Let's say hello to the Hall of Famer, the great John McClain, who is on the line with us. GallerySports.com, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. John, how are you?
Morning, John.
I'm doing great. Guys, how are you?
We're fantastic. Just, you know, trying to get through the offseason, talking a little ball here and there. But, you know, I'm having withdrawals from the NFL right now. They're trying to keep me entertained with all the free agency stuff, though.
Well, I'm guessing you didn't watch the World Baseball Classic, which I thought was fantastic. It's not a cup of tea for a lot of people like it is in the other countries that were participating. I went to the first 8 days of Astros spring training, and everybody there was talking about it. 13 of them were headed for different teams. And so I got into it. And last night, the drama of the last out, Shohei Ohtani striking out his buddy and teammate Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah.
Was not the biggest moment I'd ever seen in baseball because it doesn't compare to a World Series in the United States, but it was pretty exciting. And show what it means in Japan. I've listened to the Japanese broadcast, I bet, 5 times. Have no clue what he was saying, of course, but I do know in the middle of all his screams, you hear World Baseball Classic. I guess they have to use the official name, but it was exciting. And having a team, University of Houston, with a chance to win the national championship, and my boss at GallerySports.com, Mattress Mack, betting on the Cougars to win it before the season, as he did last year with Kansas, and they won $15 million, which paled in comparison to the $75 million he won on the Astros. But as you can imagine, it's a big deal down here for the University of Houston to have a chance to go to the Final Four in Houston.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, for sure. And, yeah, I have been watching it. It was awesome, and it's something that I'm glad they're going to bring back. So, very cool. But let's start with that team in Houston. Second overall pick, is it going to be Bryce Young? Is he going to be the quarterback of the future?
Well, they have no clue because they don't know what Carolina's going to do. This week, Frank Reich and their GM, Scott Fitterer, had a news conference with the media. And I thought it was interesting. Both of them talked about how size wasn't an issue when, if it's not, Frank Reich is getting, will get away from everything he's done as a coach, going back to quarterback coach in San Diego when he had Philip Rivers. Then he goes to Phil, and he's 6'5", he goes to Philadelphia. He has 6'5", Carson Wentz, 6'6", Nick Foles, goes to Indianapolis, 6'4", Andrew Luck, then Rivers at 6'5", Wentz at 6'6". The regular starting quarterback he's had, who's the shortest, was Jacoby Brissett at 6'3". So they want us to believe, mainly they want the Texans to believe, that they may indeed take Bryce Young. I don't buy it. I don't think they walked away from the combine and made that deal and paid dearly to move up from 9-1, not knowing who they wanted. C.J. Stroud has good size. He threw the ball great. He's the best pure passer. I think they're going to take him, and the Texans are going to get Bryce Young. But if Reich went against everything he believes in a quarterback and fools us and takes 5'10", 1/8 Bryce Young, the Texans would be happy with C.J. Stroud. And then with the 12th pick, I believe – there's a good chance Nick Caserio will trade down, but they need a pass rusher. And when D'Amico Ryans, our new coach, was with the 49ers, he had three number one picks in his defensive line, none in his back seven. So I think they'll take an edge rusher. Could be Lucas Van Ness of Iowa. Could be Miles Murphy of Clemson. Could be my mind's gone blank. The edge rusher from Georgia who ran the 4.39, and I'm losing my mind because I can't remember his name. But I think it'll be an edge rusher and Nolan Smith, and it'll be a guy who can put pressure on a quarterback for a coach with a defensive background.
John McClain is with us talking about the NFL, and you mentioned D'Amico Ryans, the new head coach of the Houston Texans. I thought that might have been one of the best hires of the coaching carousel this season. I don't know how much you've been around him to this point, John, but what are your early impressions of him?
I've known D'Amico since the day after he was drafted in 06, covered every practice, every game, interviewed him like a million times last year, the 2021 season. They finished with the 49ers, called and did a column on him. And this year, they played a preseason game in Houston, the first one on Amazon. And so I went down outside the Niners dressing room because I've known Kyle Shanahan since the early 2000s. He's got a lot of former Texans people there. And D'Amico came up, and I shook hands and said, "Let me be the first to congratulate you on your new NFL head coaching job." And he frowned, smiled, and no, I had no idea that it would be here. You know, I just knew he turned down an opportunity to interview a second time with Minnesota after the 21 season. And this year he had his agent, Jimmy Sexton, turned down an interview with Carolina, and he canceled interviews with Indianapolis and Arizona that had been set, saying they were preparing for the Cowboys. He interviewed with the Broncos on a Thursday, Texans on a Friday, and the Texans were his dream job. He played here 6 years. His wife's from here. They're building a home here. They have a home for wayward kids here. They got married here while he was playing for the Eagles. And he knows how popular he is here from his 6 seasons. And they won their first division when he was playing here. So the fans and media wanted him. And there's been so much negativity surrounding this team since they blew the 24-point lead at Kansas City in the divisional round after the 2019 season. But now it's very positive because of Ryans. People know they're going to get a franchise quarterback. Last time they did that was Deshaun Watson in 2017. So all the negativity for their pathetic performances, winning 4-4-3 games the last 3 years, has turned very positive because of D'Amico.
John McClain from GallerySports.com and Sports Radio 610 on with us. Sticking with the AFC South, we talked on the Texans. They have a new coach. The Colts have a new coach. Both teams expected to draft young quarterbacks. How different, John, do you think the AFC South can look next year and in the next couple of years?
Michelle, everybody's going to pick the Jaguars to win the division, same way they did in 2018 when they were coming off an appearance in the AFC Championship game and almost won in New England. Mm-hmm. And then they went down the toilet. And the reason is, back then, they had all these players want to get paid big bucks. The owner, Shad Khan, wouldn't do it, and the guys were unhappy. So they eventually deserted the franchise, and it was pathetic until this past season. You know, the Titans have the best coach in Mike Vrabel. We're not sure about Rand Cawthorn, even though he comes highly recommended from the Niners, and they speak very highly of him. And as you guys know firsthand, they got to rebuild their offensive line, mm-hmm. got cap issues. So it looks to me, if the Colts and the Texans get quarterbacks, and I'm thinking the Colts, Mike should try to trade to the third spot with Arizona. That would still guarantee the Cardinals are getting the best edge rusher, Will Anderson Jr., but it would keep another team from swapping with Arizona to get the third quarterback. And then the Colts might end up with the fourth best one. But if Houston, which has made a bunch of good moves in free agency for the first time, it looks to me like it's a battle for second place behind Jacksonville. But because of the Jaguars, that could change if a team got hot. Maybe Ryan Tannehill stays healthy and Derrick Henry rushes for close to 2,000 yards. And they still have a good defense with the Titans, and because of Rabel, I would pick them second. Right now, Texans third, and the Colts last.
Taking a look at the NFL as a whole, Mike Florio came out with some reports about Lamar Jackson saying that he doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract and that he thinks his time with the Ravens has come to an end. Do you think he'll be a Raven next year, and do you think any team around the NFL will be able to give up two first-round picks and take on a new contract that he's wanting?
The answers are yes and no. And what Florio reported is there's a guy who's not a certified agent calling teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson. If you are not certified by the union, then you can't negotiate a contract. Now, some players like Laremy Tunsil of the Texans, who just got $75 million and made him the highest paid offensive lineman in history, and his previous contract in 2020 made him the highest paid offensive lineman in history, he used three advisors and paid them by the hour. And I'm sure that's what Lamar Jackson is doing. So according to Florio, this guy's calling teams and telling them that he doesn't have to have a fully guaranteed contract. Well, if he still wants $200 million guaranteed, considering he's been injured the last 2 years, was an MVP 4 years ago, and has won one playoff game, I could see two ones for a 26-year-old quarterback, but I don't see him giving him that kind of guaranteed money with his recent injury history. And he should have taken the deal that he said on social media he turned down, 3 years guaranteed for about $40 million a year. He should have signed it with a stipulation, you cannot tag me when my contract expires. Then he would have been 29 and free and clear to sign with another team. And I do think he'll be back with the Ravens.
John McClain, the great John McClain, joining us here on Chase and Michelle, GallerySports.com and Sports Radio 610. John, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for coming on, John.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much, and enjoy the draft.
Absolutely.
We will
for sure. John McClain, always enjoy talking ball and NFL with him. You know, one of the coolest thing, you know, you talk about, like, I was listening to The Choice is Yours and talking mm-hmm. about, like, seeing a performance or whatever. One of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do is sit at lunch with John McClain and Floyd Reese and just be a fly on the wall and listen to stories.
You probably didn't even get a word in.
I didn't need to. that was not about me talking. I just listened to stories. So appreciate John for joining us. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. They win big last night, and the young pups stepping up once again. We'll discuss that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
The score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Cyril.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Hey, Preds fans, hang out tomorrow night before the Preds game at Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Back here, Chase Michelle, talking some hockey as the Predators win 7-3 last night against the Buffalo Sabres. And the story for me, the story for everybody, when you look at the score sheet or watch the game, names like Tomasino, Novak, and Luke Evangelista pop out at you. Two-goal night for Evangelista. Mm-hmm. Two pretty goals as well. But what was funny is he had 4 points in a period. Was pretty fantastic. But Tomasino and Duchesne combining on the first two goals, one assisting the other, which was good to put them out to a 2-0 lead. Cousins cuts into it, but then Novak takes over in the second period and scores his 14th of the year. Evangelista, that's the first point he got. Barry factoring in, you know, the new guys. You had McDonough back in the lineup. He scores a goal. So overall, I love the response by the Predators last night. And Luke Evangelista commented on his two-goal night.
Your two goals, I think, came, what, 47 seconds? Something less than a minute apart.
Yeah, same shift, I think.
You joke about it, but, you know, what did that feel like? Especially at a time when the game was still on the line and they had scored and looked like they got some momentum.
Yeah, that was a really cool feeling. I mean, you know, Buffalo's pretty close to home, and to have a bunch of family here, and like you said, those were key goals, and we were only in the second, so there's a lot of time for them to come back. So score those two on the same shift, it was a really cool feeling.
Luke Evangelista, same shift. I mean, I just love this kid. He was on Smashville Live last week. It seems like he has a great personality. He's young. I think he's 21. Got a long way to go. I mean, he's just a baby, but really like what I see so far.
Chase, I agree. I mean, this period of time right now from the trade deadline to the end of the season, whether or not they have a postseason run, it's the prove it time for these young guys. It's the, we'll bring up Luke Evangelista, we'll bring up Igor Afanasyev, and it is their time to prove what they can do in the NHL. They've been able to prove it in the AHL and throughout their career. There's a reason they got drafted where they did by the Nashville Predators. But now, can you prove it? Can you hang with the big dogs out there? I think Luke Evangelista still needs to put on some weight. That comes with just maturing and being in the NHL.
I can help him with that.
Give him some burgers out there.
I got advice.
But, I mean, how can this fan base not be so excited just watching him and to see what he's been able to do night in and night out? We mentioned 4 points. I know Nick had a called shot earlier this year on the long road trip they took of, I'm calling that he'll get 4 points on the road trip. And we were like,
he wow, called it.
That was awesome. And then he gets 4 points in a single game last night after, you know, a tough one in Madison Square Garden a couple nights before. I mean, he has shown that he can play in the top six, not only play in the top six, but hang in the top six and produce for this team, Chase.
Yeah, he can. And I think that has been really, really fun to see. And it's other guys too, like Novak.
Yes.
I mean, Novak's 6 goals away from 20. I don't see why he can't hit that before the end of the season. Matt Duchesne last night scores 20 and 21 to be the first 20-goal scorer of the year, which I know is, you know, that's disappointing. That, you know, last year he's in the 40s, Forsberg was in the 40s, you had a lot of 20-goal scorers, but that's the way it is sometimes. But Novak has shown he belongs in the top six and belongs on an NHL team. So he's obviously somebody to continue to be excited about. And then, as you mentioned, Evangelista, Tomasino. I've liked Tomasino's game, Cody Glass. The young core that they're starting to develop that Barry Trotz is going to have as the new GM, I think is really, really exciting to see. Novak, 21 points in 18 games since February 11th, according to the reporter. So that's pretty awesome.
I mean, you're seeing these rookies put up such big numbers once they were offered the opportunity to do so. Max and I talked about this on Saturday, but with guys like, you know, Mikael Granlund and Matias Ekholm and Tanner Jeannot and some of these, I mean, I know Tanner's still young, but some of these guys who were filling spots on the roster since the trade deadline, the need to have these young guys step up and play just because the lack of their depth after selling stuff at the trade deadline is completely, I mean, I'm sure the coaches and inside the building, they've seen what these guys have been able to do day in and day out, but to see the results on the ice, I mean, I don't know how you can't be excited. I mean, Robbie said this morning that watching Luke Evangelista, it's not too far-fetched to think that potentially he could be a point per game type of guy. And, I mean, you talk about that. Joakim Kemell just got moved to Milwaukee. He's going to be a guy we're going to be watching. Maybe in the next year, he could be a guy who could get moved up depending on his progression up there. Talk about this time next year.
Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on how quick it is for him. But that's the thing. And with Barry Trotz at the helm, he's not going to rush guys. He's going to – what's my favorite phrase that he said? He's going to overcook
them.
Yep, he's going to do that. So I think that's going to be good. Nick on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "Hey, Chase and Michelle, hello. Wish the Preds could have held on to Tolvin, and would be nice to see what he looks like in the top six with the other young guys." So I keep seeing this a lot on Twitter, and thank you for the text, Nick, that they bring him up. I mean, I get it. I would have liked that too, but at the same time, I had kind of lost faith in him as well. And I just kind of feel like he got to the point where he needed new scenery. Now, would I have preferred the Predators to trade him and get something back for him? Absolutely. I didn't understand trying to sneak him down through, you know, to Milwaukee and clear him through waivers. I didn't think that was going to work, and it didn't. But it is what it is, and now he's gone. So, you know, is it disappointing to see him having success in Seattle? You'll see him for two games starting tomorrow night. Here in Smashville, sure, it is, of course. But you got to be happy with what you have here, too. And I think there's a lot of young talent. And, you know, sometimes it's just not a fit in a certain spot. And so that, I kind of think that's what it was with him.
Yeah, and I look at, too, when he – so he was claimed off waivers on December 12th. So shortly after that was when David Poile and Barry Trotz said they started having conversations. Yeah. His selling was coming sooner after that. I know Elie Tolvanen, though, he was a young guy who you would have liked to be able to see him in the fold right now of getting the opportunity to play a lot of minutes. But maybe you wouldn't be seeing it from Luke Evangelista, or maybe one of these other guys wouldn't have the opportunity. And I think right now, if you just focus on this Nashville Predators team, it's pretty promising from these young guys. And who knows, maybe Elie wouldn't have worked with this core, right?
Yeah,
so he's gone. Well, I know he's going to be back here this weekend, but I think that this young core you got going right now is pretty strong so far.
Coming up next, we will talk to Predators defenseman Dante Fabbro. He joins the show here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.